Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. And you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Welcome, everybody. We're here at the monthly edition of The Gathering, a afterlife discussion group. And Tom and Melissa Gould are here, and joining Fran and myself, Bob Ginsberg. And tonight's show is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and you can find them on the web at Comlock, K-A-M-L-A-K.com. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Bob.
And hope the day wasn't too stressful. Well, looking at Tom, he looks like he's ready for a drink.
Well, tonight's topic is dream visitations.
Right.
I should have one right about 7:30.
We'll let you nap, and then we'll wake you up, and you can share your dreams.
Well, as Tom mentioned, tonight's topic is dream visits, and we'll get into a general discussion of dreams, and specifically dream visits, where people can connect with loved ones on the other side, you know, through dreams. Before we get started, Fran, did you have a few announcements?
I'm just going to ramble off a couple of things.
Okay.
We have a Visa credit card that if everybody takes out, we can make a lot of money and research lots of things about the afterlife. If you go online at foreverfamilyfoundation.org and sign up for the Visa credit card, Visa will make a donation for each card that's taken out. Plus, every time you use the card, they will donate to us. So get it and use it and keep us going. In addition to that, if you're using your Visa credit card, you can use it online at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website. And again, not only is Visa making a donation to us for that purchase, but so is Amazon. And if you don't see what you want on Amazon, sign up for iGive.com. But what I want to say now is iGive.com has changed their icons. And so if everybody listening and tell everybody else to go to iGive.com and download the new search toolbar. This time, every time you search for something on your browser, and it could be a Google browser or whatever browser you want, but if you use the iGive search, every time you search, we make money. You don't even have to go shopping. But, of course, do go shopping. Use an iGive store and use your Visa credit card, and we'll just make loads of money without you having to write us a check. Also, speaking of checks, the rest of the time remaining for the Holiday of the Earth raffle, unfortunately, can only be processed by checks. We're having issues with PayPal, and so they're good issues, so don't get alarmed, but you cannot use PayPal for the raffle stuff. You can only use it for other stuff right now, but you got to be in it to win it. Because of this problem, there are very few tickets sold, so now is your chance to win. So get out your checkbook. Write the biggest check you possibly can for the Holiday of the Earth raffle. Mail it into the office at Forever Family Foundation, 222 Atlantic Avenue, Oceanside, New York, 11572. And you can win up to 5 medium readings with Bobby Allison, Laura Lynn Jackson, Lynn LeClaire, Dave Campbell, and or Kathy Towell. And if you're listening to the show and you have a business, you should be advertising on this show. Our special business package is only $100. Call the office at 631-425-7707, and I'll tell you all about it. And that's it for my announcement. Oh, we'll talk about the May event later, okay?
Okay.
Because that needs its own attention.
All right, that works for me.
Cool.
Before we go to our break, I know that when we talk about dreams, the first thing that comes to mind is how can you tell? How can you tell when there really is a visit? You know, what's the difference between a regular dream, if you want to call it a regular dream, or a dream visit dream? We had a guest last week who's a wonderful dream researcher, Rita Dwyer, and she talks about having of dreams and with dreams, which is pretty much the same as we're talking about. I call them regular dreams as opposed to dream visits, you know. So she described an of dream, you know, kind of reflecting psychological issues, you know, it might be whatever, anger or shame or regret or whatever, and you can use them to work things out. But a with dream is quite different. It's clear, and you can have a conversation with a deceased loved one, and you know, sometimes physical contact, and you know the difference. So I guess the question is, how many of us have had these with dreams? I mean, Tom, have you ever had a dream visit?
Definitely, yes. Yeah.
Of a family member or a friend or
family member and friend. At both, just recently, about 2 nights ago, my father came through.
Really?
And, it was kind of fun. He's having a good time wherever he is.
Yeah. Was it a? Were you able to talk to him? Was it? Would you hear his voice? Was it telepathic kind of a thing? Or it's hard to tell. I know.
It's hard to tell. You know, when you really nail it down, I mean, you know, you're communicating, and you know that they're saying something to you, but do I recall the voice or not? That is very hard to say.
Yeah,
I very rarely. The reason I know it's a visitation, what I've heard also, is that visitations tend to be more vivid, and that you carry that with you, and you can remember it weeks, days, even years later. And I tend to not. I wake up and I don't know what I've dreamt most of the time. So for me to remember this and the whole scene that I can recount very well, other than whether he's got a voice or not, stood out. And here it is a couple of days later, and I can still see it all in my mind.
So the I would imagine some degree of elation comes with that. I mean,
it felt great.
Yeah.
I woke up feeling good, and nice to hear from him.
All right. Well, we're going to hear about our other dream visits, and I would say if anybody out there in Radio Land has had a dream visit they'd like to share, please give us a call at 1-888-815-9756. Right now we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk all about, not only about dream visits, but regular dreams and ways that you can help to incubate, as they say, having a dream visit. So stay with us, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. And we are talking about dreams and dream visits. While we're talking about that, and we're describing a dream visit as a contact through a dream with a deceased acquaintance or loved one. And we're differentiating that to regular dreams. Like now, when I have regular dreams, there, and you mentioned, Tom, you don't recall a lot of it, even though that while you're having the dream, you think that you're going to remember it. You know, like how could you not? And then you get up to go to the bathroom, and it's gone. Yeah. So, do you think that different people have various degrees of recall in dreams? I mean, do you remember your dreams, Melissa, and the regular dreams? Let's say.
Not really. Last night I was dreaming about ice cream a lot, but I had had a couple of emails from my daughter and a friend of hers was writing about the ice cream, so it made perfect sense to me when I woke up.
That fits in with like rehashing the day's events and like what's going on, right?
That often happens to me, but no, I can't say those really stay with me. I mean, you know, next time I come, will I remember that I dreamt about ice cream?
Right. Well, so do you think that... which I believe that the reason that we have these dream visits is because we're in that state of mind, you know, where all that noise is set aside and spirit is using it as an opportunity, to get through. So, but that could be through dreams, right? Some people could say it could be through, meditation, or some could say it could be used through drugs. Can accomplish that as well. So, but the most common occurrence of these visitations, is through dreams. So you almost think that maybe people in spirit look forward to us going to sleep if they want to get a message through. We've talked about things like I know personally, I don't get any messages except I seem to get a lot of messages when I'm at that. In that certain REM state of sleep. You didn't mention, Melissa, did you ever have a visitation?
I did have a dream visit, but before I tell you about that, it is interesting because what kind of dream would it be? I don't know if you recall, Fran, when I had that very specific two-night dream that was all related to something you were going through. So it wasn't a loved one, as far as I know. There was no loved one in the dream, but I still clearly remember it. I can only put the date on it that it was when you were preparing for your daughter's engagement party. So So what year was that?
Oh, wow. So that had to be 2008.
And I remember the dream very clearly. So what does that mean? And
well, that was a precognitive dream. That's a little different.
But why is that staying with me, too?
Well, I guess precognition is very, it's on the same wavelength of, in a way, as the spiritual dream.
Well, so it's something that is unusual, you know, so you, something, things that are unusual tend to stay with you, you know, I guess, but, you know, I guess I sensed that you felt that there was some meaning to this, some deeper meaning why you would have it on two nights.
That's right.
About that, you know.
And then also, of dream that has stayed with me, which I had discussed previously with one of our groups, was a dream that could possibly be recalling a near-death experience, that when I was in a situation where I was near to death, but I had no near-death experience. But then several years later, I had a dream that was very much like what people describe when they have a near-death experience. So possibly it was suppressed and came to me in a dreamlike form. And so that stayed with me. So what's that dream? Not precognitive. Maybe a near-death. I don't know.
Oh, we may have to start a new category.
I don't see, here we go, categorizing things again, which is something that just drives me wild. Dreams are dreams are dreams, and I'll bet you in the ones that we're referring to as regular dreams versus dream visits, there's probably just as much meaning somewhere within that dream as there is in the dream visit. Now, in the dream visit, you could be dreaming all night or for 20 minutes or for whatever it is, but you only remember that little fragmented part where the person visited. So maybe there's something special about when it's an actual discarnate coming into your field of dreams, and that the other dreams, not any more, less significant, not any different really, except that there's no discarnate involved in it.
Well, that's what the dream researchers say. I mean, they say
right.
that what I would consider to be a meaningless dream, they would say, no, it has a lot of meaning. It's just personal meaning, that things, your way of working things out.
Right. So although we can't say that Melissa's dream wasn't a dream visit, it's obviously making some connection on a higher level that either needs her attention or wants her to be there.
Well, there are those that say that, you know, when you're dreaming, it's like visiting the afterlife. You know, you're in that other realm, a totally different realm of existence where you don't have the time and space and you don't have the same physical laws, and you're able to actually simulate what it's like to die by dreaming. I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, when death could be a dream, you know, or those, you could say the opposite, you know, we're a dream and death is the reality. But I don't have to ask you if you had a dream visit, because I know very well that you've had many, many, and you've used them. I think you're trying to use them. You haven't quite used them yet, in a way that helps you. I think you're still trying to grasp that whole concept of how to use the information. But you get a lot of information from the deceased in dreams.
That's very true.
Yeah,
and knowing all the different deceased people have visited me in dreams, I can clearly conclude that the intensity of their communication is totally up to them and not us. That how they get the information through and how important the information is all under their control and not ours.
Well, I know, you know, when we talk about, you know, the differences in dreams and you know, it's always very frustrating to me that I can't remember them, and then I wake up and I'm trying to make sense of them, and I can't. You know, and then we've talked about this before, but I don't know, was it last year or 2 years ago, whenever it was in Sedona, when I when
it was also 2008.
2008, you know, and
year of the dream.
Here I am. I'm trying. You know, I don't think much of dreams, and Fran's father comes to me, and you know, as clear as can be. It was sort of like what people describe when they have a near-death experience, when they describe the clarity of things and heightened sensual awareness. You know, and Fran's father, who was deceased 18 years at that point, right?
About, I didn't do the math. Oh, 1981.
Yeah. Came to me, and he said, with a big smile on his face, you know, he said, "Bob," and then he said to me, "I have to tell you something." And so I was all ears, and I said, "Yes." And he said, "You know, you have a blockage on the left side of your heart." You know, so, wow. So, you know, then I wake up, and I'm, "Prince, what's the matter?" I said, "Oh, my God." I, you know, come on. Talk about I never, ever get a clear message. And here, this is a message. So then, you know, how seriously do you take that? You know, so we decided to take it seriously. And as I might have mentioned this, but, you know, then you decide, well, what's the difference? What do we do when we go back to New York? I got to go to the doctor. And then he's going to say, "What's wrong?" And then I'm going to say, "Well, my dead father-in-law came to me and told me I have a blockage on the left side of my eye." So then they're going to lock me up. You know, but we did find we had a good alternative MD. You know, that we went to. When I told him, he said, "Well," he was serious. He said, "I think we should check it out." And he checked it out, and as it turns out, it was a good warning, because I had a lot of risk factors that if I didn't take care of, would have resulted in that, but, you know, it didn't. So, and then at the end, the doctor just said to me, "Well, I think you should thank you for your father-in-law," you know, so, but there's an example of
he also said, "I could work with your father-in-law."
Yeah.
Now, in this case, you heard his words, or it was a thought transference?
Well, I certainly understood when Tom was having difficulty, when I asked him that same question, because you can't really tell, you know, because you're hearing the voice, but whether you're hearing the voice out loud or you're hearing the voice telepathically is not clear. And I would imagine that's what it's like in the afterlife. Everything is telepathic.
Yeah.
And people are not walking around with voice boxes, you know. So, but and you probably could imprint whatever voice that you like. This happened to be his voice, and he appeared to me as I had known him. I met him, obviously, when I met Fran. So he didn't come to me as a child or a young adult. He came to me as close to the same age that he was when I knew him. And he also, there wasn't any strong, it wasn't scary, you know, because, you know, he said it as if everything, you know, was going to be okay. So I wasn't terribly, you know, upset by that. So, yeah, it had such a... And that, you know, stuck with me, obviously, because of the message. But even if it wasn't that message, just because it was, you know, was so clear. I have had other dream visits before, you know, many of them. But this was the first time I'd ever had any contact with, you know, with Fran's father, you know, who I was close with, you know, when he was alive. But, you know, it was so many years. And, you know, it's hard to make the argument that I was expecting, you know, like, obviously I would be expecting to hear from my daughter, you know, on the other side, but I wouldn't be expecting to hear from my father-in-law, which made it, you know, even more significant. Mm-hmm. So, but what do you think about the theory? Do you think that dreams simulate the afterlife?
I've heard that, and it makes a lot of sense, as you say. In fact, it's funny if this comes up, because just this afternoon, I guess I was... thinking about how you see the turn of the century, and a lot of people, it seems, most people will see one century and another, and nobody's going to see two turns of a century. And then it got me thinking about, well, people born in like 1908 didn't make it to 2000, things like that. But then I thought, well, the next one that turns, you know, I'm not going to see it. And then I thought, well, I'm going to see it, but not in the physical form. And then I thought to myself, well, how am I going to see it if I don't have the physical eyes to see? And now here we are talking about being in a dream where you see and you hear.
Right.
And you're not using your physical eyes. Your eyes are closed and you're sleeping, so you're not hearing anything in the room, but you are hearing it, you are seeing it in your mind, you're hearing it and seeing it. And I guess, you know, when you're pure energy, and and plus the messages that I've gotten through some of the mediums and that sort of thing that my father, again, bring him up, coming back and saying how much fun it is and how much great time he's having. And he's, you know, he says everything's going at the speed of an airplane, and it's just, you know, a really fun time. And he talks about, he talked about getting on the back of a jet ski and riding around with a guy, and he goes, and he never even knew it that I was there. and it seemed like, well, that does sound like fun. But how do you actually enjoy it if you don't have the senses, the physical senses?
Yeah. And I know you and Fran, and I Melissa a little bit. I think I read some of the Seth material.
Yeah.
But what I was reading is that supposedly that Seth maintained that the dream state is similar to the existence that you have after you pass on, you know, from the physical. From what I was reading, it said that Seth suggested that we get familiar with our dreams to help us to prepare for our transition to the other side. So, you know, that makes a lot of sense, too. I was reading something that said that we have a trial run at death every single night when we go to sleep. So, you know, that's interesting. You know,
that's a cute quote.
Yeah.
Where did you get that one from?
I don't remember, some website, but we can begin training to fall asleep consciously and to dream lucidly. So, you know, that brings us to, you know, can a lot of people that are listening are probably saying, well, you know, I'd love to have a dream visit, but I never have, and I desperately, you know, would want one, and, you know, what can I do? Well, some of the dream researchers give some specifics. Rita Dwyer last week was telling us, you know, some ways.
Which, by the way, this is a good time for me to interrupt and say, speaking of May 20th, Rita Dwyer will be teaching how to optimize your dream visits at the May 20th Grief Retreat in Chester, Connecticut. Now, if you're a listener and you're thinking, oh, Chester, Connecticut, how come it can't be in Omaha? How come it can't be in San Diego? Well, you could get on a plane, and Chester, Connecticut is a short drive from the Bradley International Airport in Connecticut. And many people have come to our previous retreats that we've had at the guest house in Chester, Connecticut, from very far away. So it's not an impossible thing to do. Rita Dwyer is certainly worth the visit, as are all the other people who are going to be there. We have Kim Russo, who's a fabulous, fabulous medium. We have another medium, Doreen Malloy, who's also educated in grief recovery. And then we also have Dr. Mohana, a therapist and psychologist who is educated in induced after-death communication. So if all of that doesn't make you want to get on a plane, train, or automobile and get to Chester, Connecticut the weekend of May 20th, then we'll be there and we won't be seeing you.
And the last time we were there was in the fall, and didn't get a chance to fully explore, but now it'll be a springtime, and they have there's a lot of grounds. There are hiking trails and that
beaches, lakes.
There's a lot of ways to commune with nature, which I imagine is another great way to get spiritually connected.
And that's going to be a small gathering we're talking about.
It'll be a maximum
of 50 people.
We'll be most of the time broken up into small groups of 10 to 12. So.
Right. One of the things that that Rita was saying that we can do is simply start by, you know, before we're going to sleep, even saying to ourselves or out loud that, you know, that I'm going to dream tonight and I'm going to remember, just sort of set the tone. As we talked about, she also recommends keeping a pad and pencil near your bed so that you can immediately write it down, and a voice-activated tape recorder, you know, because sometimes you don't feel like getting up, it's, you know, in the middle of the night and start writing. But if you have a voice actor, you could just repeat. You don't even have to get up, you know, just repeat what you had just dreamt. And that's a good tool, you know, to listen back afterwards. She also, one of the things that her and others have said is to say some sort of the they either you want to call it an affirmation or a prayer, but something to a specific deceased loved one, asking them to come through, you know, and that, you know, in your dreams. And they even say, well, you could even put something under your pillow, like a note that you wrote to them or a photograph, and, you know, and keep it there. And one of the other things that is common, a common suggestion is to sort of get yourself into a semi, you know, altered state of consciousness before you go to sleep. And that, I guess the most common thing is meditation. But, you know, really trying to get yourself unwound and not frantic, you know, when you go to sleep, because that'll inhibit it. Rita said that when she goes to sleep, she says, spirit, soul, psyche align, you know, in her meditation, you know, and as she says, that's the way that she harmonizes with spirit. So I guess it makes sense if you're trying to get on the same frequency level, you know. So those are, I guess, some things that you could do. And very few of us do it, but it sounds logical to me.
I've also heard that if you're serious about this and would like to get your dreams more memorable in a way, is it's along the same lines as having a pad, but to keep a dream journal. And I've read that if you write down your dream every day, that you will remember more of it. And another thing too, if you are writing down your dream and you think, well, gee, I don't know how it started, to write it backwards, to write down the last thing you remembered when you woke up, and then see where that leads you. Well, what happened? Where was I doing before that in the dream? And then you will remember more of your dreams, starting with what you last remembered when you woke up, and then try to work your way back. And it's kind of the, in mediumship they say this too, is that you have to show spirit your intent. It's kind of like, sure, there are spirits out there who would love to get in touch with you, who would love to send you messages, but if you're not getting the messages, they get frustrated like we do, and it's like a phone call. If you try to call somebody and they never answer your phone, you're not going to call them. So what you want to do is make sure that the lines are open. And as Bob suggested, you start off the night by saying, I'm here, come through. I'd like to, you know, a specific question that you want answered. That's another good thing to do, that if there's something bothering you, you know, should I buy this house? Or should I buy the house over in Huntington instead? You know, things like that.
And we've all had these lucid dreams, you know, not necessarily dream visits, but dreams in which you're involved. You're fully aware that you're dreaming, you know, like while you're dreaming. And I know some people, you know, suggest this practice to sort of experiment, you know, ask questions while you're in the dream. You know, be interactive into it. So do you often have, does anybody have lucid dreams normally, or are they more fragmented?
I don't think, I sort of recall having them. You mean as though it's like, oh, I know I'm dreaming, so let's just keep going with this and see where it leads?
Yeah, like you're right in the middle of the dream, you could say, like sometimes you don't know you're dreaming, you're just there, you know, but in the middle of a lucid dream, you're fully aware that you're having the dream, and so you could sort of control it a bit. You know, you can go in and out and ask questions.
I have experienced that, and sometimes it's like, oh, thank goodness this is only a dream, because otherwise, you know, I'd be panicking.
I've certainly had those, and well, I tend to. My one way to prove that I'm dreaming when I sit there and think, is this a dream or not, is that that I get off the ground, I'll fly.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't happen to me, but it's a common theme of people flying, and there are certain common things. One of them is flying, another one's being naked in public.
That's mine.
Is it really? Yeah, but I think Rita last week was talking about that's when you're not always confident about sharing all of your ideas.
Come to think of it, I have seen you flying around the room naked, so.
Too much information.
I had a friend who said that he could lay down and then get himself into a dream from being awake, and he could
fall asleep and still be conscious of it and to sort of control it and stay conscious while his body fell asleep. And then he'd be in a dream, and then he could do whatever he wanted.
So isn't that almost like mediumship?
I think it is, yeah.
That's basically
that's
what they're
exactly
doing. Going into their mind, into their third eye. Yeah. They just happen to also be in this world at the same time.
It's funny because this guy probably, if you told him that he probably is a sensitive, he would probably...
freak out.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that stuff.
Well, when you go to sleep sometimes, do you, even though it's not a daydream, it's a night dream, but do you, you know, willfully, like, play out a scenario, and does that ever carry over into a dream? Like, you know, I mean, I'll be thinking of things. I'll sort of be daydreaming as I'm going to sleep. I'm not really in a dream. I'm sort of just thinking of things, of a scenario that maybe I would like to happen. But that never seems to, thinking that sometimes that might carry over into a dream, but it never does. Yeah.
I definitely, in fact, a lot of times when I'm lying there and then something happens in the room that makes me realize I'm still awake, and then I say, oh, I was in a dream here. I was already there, asleep, and now I have to start all over again.
Right, rewind.
Yeah.
I guess we'll take our second break, and when we come back, we'll just continue this discussion of dreams and dream visits. So stay with us, and we will be back in 3 minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. We've been talking about dreams and dream visits. And one of the things we mentioned were precognitive dreams, where you dream of something that plays itself out in the future. And then the question is, well, you know, can you change the future? And the consensus is you can, you know, by a free will. So then how could it really be precognitive if you change it, you know? That's one of those conundrums, you know. I think we've all had precognitive experiences, you know, to some degree. But what I'm wondering about, because we talked about the theory that dreams give us a glimpse of a world beyond, so maybe we don't always have to think of a precognitive dream as something that happens in the physical. Maybe we have a precognitive dream, you know, while we're sleeping, and we're dreaming about something that's going to happen in the afterlife. You know, so
or another dimension.
Or another dimension. Yeah.
I mean, if we're fragmenting and we have many souls in many dimensions, then we're just visiting another part of ourselves, according to Seth.
Seth says that the our soul goes out in like tentacles and is existing in different realms all at the same time, and that these are, when you say precognitive and you see the future, it's a possible future you're seeing. And everything's, as you say, you still have free will not to go down that path or to try to change it, and then it's a different possibility.
Yeah.
But the possibilities are endless.
Well, you know, but I also like the that training, so to speak, if we can, everybody always wants to know what it's like in the afterlife, and if we could catch these glimpses through our dreams, then it's logical to me that we will be better prepared, you know, when we get there. Although I don't know, I've never had a dream where I've said, I dreamt of another dimension, you know, have you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. Most of mine seem to be earthbound in a way. I mean,
how do you know?
It's surreal a lot of the times, and things are happening that never would happen here, but it's familiar surroundings.
Yeah, but then again, if we're dreaming of things involving spirit, the only way that they could make themselves understood by us is putting it in our physical terms. So we may not notice that it's in a spiritual realm.
Yeah.
But you're looking at me like you're not sure.
No, I'm trying to piece it all together, and this last dream that I had the other night just keeps coming back to me, where you were in it, I was in it, and my mom, who's on the other side, was in it. And yes, we were in a familiar surrounding, but it was a surrounding that was not there when she was in the physical world. So yet she came into this room and insisted that we pick up the hassock and put it on top of the big screen TV. Now, that makes no sense. So how does that all fit in?
Hmm.
You know, it's a dream visit. It's a wit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's there. But why would you pick up a hassock and put it on top of a television?
Well, then again, I did.
Maybe we should go do that.
It makes no physical sense, but maybe in another realm.
In another world, in another realm, yeah.
I know that you have, Fran, and I do sometimes too. Do you ever have any, like a recurring place that appears in your dreams? I know that you have a house.
There's a house that I've never seen in this physical world, that very often I find myself in the dream, and I'm with my family. And to them, it's a familiar, to everybody in the dream, it's a very familiar space.
And that happens. It's happened many times. We could go back. But I also have certain places that in the dream, you know, I go to, and in the dream, they're very, very familiar. I know that that's where I'm supposed to be. But when I wake up, I realize that it's just it's nothing that I can recall. Now, I guess you could say it was from a past life or a future life or, you know.
Another dimension.
Another dimension. You guys ever have a place that you go to that's familiar? Or it doesn't have to be a place, but
I can't say reoccurring place.
Yeah.
Familiar places.
Do you have reoccurring dreams?
Yes, some, but not significant. It's too silly to even talk about, but.
Most of my reoccurring dreams are very mundane, like I'm doing something and I'm just getting it just so, and I it usually comes when I have a cold or something and I'm not sleeping well, that most of the night it seems that I'm trying to do this one thing, like even solve a math puzzle or something, and I'm doing it all night long, just this one thing.
I get that all the time. All the time. It doesn't have to be a puzzle per se, but it's a certain task, or it could be something to do with the computer, you know, or a list or something, and I keep doing it over and over and over again, and it's very uncomfortable.
I know, it sort of bodes for like an eternity of doing office work. It's like the movie Beetlejuice when. Beetlejuice goes to the afterlife, and he ends up finding that people working as civil servants for eternity and things like that.
Well, I guess that's when you make your own hell.
I hope they're not in the state of Florida.
Now you mentioned before you have dreams when you're flying. Now, so in the dream, now when you have a dream that you're flying. Was that like an out of body where you actually can like look down at things that you're flying over?
But it's not out of body because my body is physically above the ground, so it's not like I'm looking down at myself doing things.
But you're looking down at other things.
Oh, definitely, sometimes even to the point where it's like, wow, yeah, I'm up, kind of scary to be so high type of thing. And it's and somebody once when I mentioned something or Facebook or something, and they came back with, well, do you hover or do you take off? And I thought that was an interesting question. And it's sort of the kind of thing that it's like, I think it's more floating to start with. But I've also, I've flown along like the old Superman thing, flying along.
And no cape, though.
Well, I don't
think so. Then we could find a different meaning
in whatsoever.
So it's a make-a-dream.
That you said this about the flying, I've had a dream that stayed with me and reoccurring. But I'm not flying. I'm doing this, big bound. I can only equate it to greater than a kangaroo's bound. But it's like bounding. And the last time I recall, I was going down a local road, Park Avenue, just going this big bound, big flying steps down.
Cool. Well, what made me, the reason I was asking, Tom, is because, it would be interesting if you were talking about getting involved in the lucid dreaming, that you could do a little experiment for yourself. It's sort of like to see if you could remote view. If you could, while you're up there, if you could gain, some information about
flying,
a target.
Fly over to Libya and see what the real story is.
Yeah, something like that. I imagine that's possible. If you listen to Claude Swanson, it's definitely possible. Mm-hmm. And again, speaking of what you mentioned earlier, is that, yes, that ties directly in with the research of mediumship, of remote viewing, and all of that we've studied, and certainly that Claude has talked to us about. And that is that level of, you're still conscious, but you're actually dreaming. And I think if we could control our dreams more specifically, that we could do that. In fact, Dr. Moss, who has been a guest on this show and several books, talked about how Osama bin Laden did a lot of his planning with dream sessions. People think, well, how could you do all of this planning from caves? And apparently what they do is every night they sit down, as Rita Dwyer suggests, with a purpose and with a question, and everybody in this group takes the same question, and they actually sleep in the same room, and then they wake up in the morning, and each person individually would go in and meet with the leader and say what their dreams were, and then from that they were able to get concrete plans.
I would think that, you know, the medical doctor's explanation is that, you know, we all have been hardwired to sleep because that's the way that our body, you know, regenerates. But I kind of think that maybe, you know, we were designed to dream, you know, as to have this connection to these other subtle worlds. You know, it's our only way of interaction. So
I think it would have been our only way of gaining guidance, is to take a pause from the day's occupation and have an opportunity to commune with the other side and to ready yourself for the following day.
Yeah, I think of that too.
Yeah, so it's actually, it goes back to having a lot more senses than our five senses. You know, we just don't recognize it as such, you know. And then we have a tendency also, everybody says, oh, it's only a dream, you know, it's only a dream. We discount all our dreams.
You shouldn't say that. And just because Tom brought it up, Robert Morse's book, which we do have up on the website, and you can get it at our website through Amazon.
Is
Dream Gates, Exploring the World of Soul, Imagination, and a Life Beyond Death.
Mm.
So it's an excellent paperback.
One of the things that he talks about, Morse, was in his books about famous people in history, you know, who have relied on their dreams to make discoveries in art and music. And I remember in our last interview, they're quite interesting. You know, Paul McCartney had a dream, you know, when he wrote Yesterday, he saw that in a dream. And there were some other things, people that talked to their, their relatives in dreams. I mean, Stephen King is said to dream. That's how he comes up with his novels.
Einstein's theory of relativity was in a dream.
Right. He's even people that have gone on to found these highly successful companies, you know, they get the idea in dreams. So I think it's clear that we need to, you know, pay more attention. I mean, I never paid much attention to them, but just recently, especially with talking to all of these dream researchers, all these dreams that I tend to discount, saying the same thing, well, it's only a dream. Now, you know, as I'm taking a shower and I'm remembering some of the stuff, I'm saying, well, what, you know, is this something I'm trying to work out? You know, is this something that I need to address? And yeah, but unfortunately, a lot of it, like last night I had a dream, and I said, oh, I'll remember it, and I didn't. I mean, it wasn't a dream visit, so, you know, these days, if it's not a dream visit, I don't want to, you know, I'm only interested in those, but the others could be quite helpful, too.
It's important to note that Robert Morse firmly contends that everybody's dreams mean something different, and it's specific to themselves. So if you get one of these books that tell you, well, if you're flying, it means this. If you're wearing red socks, it means that. That you should throw those out. That it's the dreams are specific to you, and you should interpret them. He says the best way to interpret your dream is to ask to people, saying, well, what would this mean to you if you had a dream like that, and then try to get it meaning that. And you know, Shakespeare's most familiar or famous soliloquy is Hamlet's "To be or not to be," which is he's considering suicide, which he says, you know, to sleep perchance to dream.
And we've talked about a lot of the ancient tribal societies and even some ones that may be still in existence today that are dream people. They share their dreams every day, and then they decide on how to operate for that day, for that week, you know, based upon the consensus of all the other dreams. And that would be something that would be interesting. You know, we could set up a whole global warning system. You know, we will all these dreams come in, and we know that there's a shared consciousness, and we know from the Global Consciousness Project and all that there we do share the same, you know, thoughts, and that's something that I think could be very beneficial. So maybe we should do that as a project one day. Start sharing our dreams.
Well, maybe we'll start it at the May 20th.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I think there may actually be a dream experiment that day or that weekend.
Yeah, it's a good idea, and we could suggest that. And
so as we're winding down, I'd like to ask all of our listeners to please join us in our healing energy prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. As we visualize the healing light upon Chuck Rocket, Vicki Steffi, Janet Mayer, Judith Lachman, Wendy Lippo, and all of the people affected by the tsunami and all those other unrests in the world.
Where do people, if they would like to somebody to join that list, where do they write, send an email?
Just send an email to director@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and we'll get them onto the list or their loved ones onto the list. And now our usual prayer for the Gulf, because it's still leaking. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And that was by Masaru Emoto back in May of 2010 when we had the Gulf spill. He's also asking that everybody pray for the waters outside of Japan that have been affected by the radiation, and ask for sending thoughts of love and gratitude to all the water in the nuclear plants in Fukushima.
Okay. And with that, it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.